My name is Michael Washam. I'm a senior technical evangelist on the Windows Azure Evangelism team. This is part one of a series of webcasts focused on Windows Azure Infrastructure Service. The topic of this webcast is going to be getting started with virtual machines. So Windows Azure virtual machines are in preview today, and as part of preview, you can launch two different OS types. You can launch a Windows Server-based virtual machine or a Linux-based virtual machine. We have numerous images of each size or type, ranging from Server 2008 R2 to Server 2012. And on the Linux side, we have OpenSUSE 12.1, CentOS 6.2, Ubuntu 12.04, and SUSE Linux Enterprise Server SP2. From the virtual machine size perspective, you have five different instance sizes that you can create your virtual machine from, starting from extra small, which is using shared CPU cores, all the way up to extra large with eight dedicated cores for you to use. Each virtual machine has a set number of data disks it can take advantage of. So an extra small virtual machine can attach an additional data disk to the VM that can store up to 1 terabyte of storage. And an extra large virtual machine can store up to 16 data disks, each at a terabyte of size, which gives total storage capacity for one virtual machine of 16 terabytes. There are two different entities that you need to manage whenever you're dealing with virtual machines in Windows Azure: OS images and disks. OS images come in three different categories: Microsoft supplied images, these are the Windows Server images I noted in two slides back, partner images, these will be the Linux images and any other additional images that come in the future from our partners, and user images. User images are where you are allowed to create and customize your own virtual machine images. And this is really pretty simple. You basically boot up a virtual machine, whether it's Windows or Linux, install software, customize it, whatever you need to do, and then you generalize it, and you can actually save that back to Windows Azure as a custom image. So any virtual machines created from that image are actually based off whatever all the settings that you put on initially. Disks, on the other hand, are the actual underlying VHDs your virtual machines write to. So this will be your C drive, where C:\Windows is, and this would be an OS disk. And then the data disks will be where you actually place your data, such as your SQL database files or whatever application you're using. So your data, the VHDs that we were just discussing, are actually stored in Windows Azure Storage. Windows Azure Storage has the benefit of being highly durable by default. So whenever I put a blob, in this case a VHD, in Windows Azure Storage will actually make three distinct copies of it in the same data center. So if we lose lots of hardware, if we lose disks in Windows Azure Storage where it happened to have your VHD on it, we have two additional copies handy. So this makes it a highly available or a highly durable data center level storage system. We also have the option of enabling geolocation for a slightly higher price that will make an additional three copies of your VHD in a different Windows Azure Storage data center, so for a total of six different copies of your VHD. This is not a replacement for traditional backup methods, because if you do have data corruption of some kind, say you know you have a database server and you accidentally delete a table, all that's going to happen is that table deletion is going to be replicated to all six locations in Windows Azure Storage. So used in conjunction with backup applications, this is a highly durable solution. So let's go ahead and jump over to the Windows Azure Management Portal, and we'll see how we can create virtual machines. So if you haven't used Windows Azure Management Portal lately, what you have here on the left side is basically all the different services from Windows Azure. Not all of them from our previous portal have migrated over, so if you're used to applications like Traffic Manager or Access Control Service, those have not made it over quite yet, but they're on their way. So I'm going to jump over into virtual machines and click Create a Virtual Machine. Actually, before I do that, let me show you how to create a storage account. So I'm going to go into Create a Storage Account. If you create a virtual machine, you actually have the option of just allowing the portal to create a storage account for you. But I want to go through the details so you can see in detail how your storage is created. So I'm going to go ahead and create a data center or create a storage account in our West US data center. I'm going to uncheck enable geo-replication because for my demo storage, I don't really need a lot of durability. I'm going to name this my demo storage A1. This does have to be unique, because it does create a DNS name. I'm going to go ahead and click create a storage account. And this usually takes a few minutes to create. And once it does, we'll be able to go into the virtual machine wizard and then select a storage account as a basis for where we'll keep our VHDs at. Okay, so our storage account is visually created. So now let's go over to virtual machines. Click create a virtual machine. And I'm going to go ahead and choose our gallery option. And this is where you can see the different images, image categories, so platform images, and then my images, and of course my disks. So I'm going to go ahead and create Windows Server 2012 and call this my VM1. And now I need to give an administrator password. And here's where I can select different instance sizes. So I'm going to go ahead and choose large. And now I can give a give the name for the public IP address for the public DNS name for my virtual machine. So I'll call this one, has to be unique, so I'll call this my VM1 demo service. And I'm going to choose my storage account. And my storage account is created in West US Data Center, so that's a data center that's automatically selected for me. So now it has to see if my service is available, and it is. And here is where I can choose an availability set. Availability sets basically allow you to group virtual machines that are doing similar workloads, such as web servers or to Active Directory domain controllers or SQL servers or whatever you want to do, into a set which basically tells Windows Azure Fabric Controller to put these virtual machines on two separate racks in a data center. So we have data center high availability. We have separate power supplies and separate cooling and all the good stuff that keeps our servers up and running. Now we have duplicate of them, so we don't have any failures. So go ahead and click OK and let this start provisioning. While this server is provisioning, I do want to go over and show you how you can actually see the underlying VHDs for your storage. So I'm going to go ahead and get the name of my storage account, and I'm going to use a tool called Cloud Explorer by a company called Clumsy Leaf. So I'm going to add a new Windows Azure storage account, and I'm going to get my authentication key for my storage account, paste this over here, and now you'll be able to see where the actual VHDs are stored at. So whenever I create a VM through the Windows Azure Management Portal, it'll always put the VHDs in a container called VHDs. So I can see my virtual server's VHD is here. And if I add any other disks to this virtual machine or I create any other virtual machine, they'll also show up here. If I want finer grain control over where these VHDs will be provisioned at, if I want them in specific containers or specific file names, or better labeling, I should say, I can actually have a little bit more fine grain control using the Windows Azure PowerShell commandlets. So let's go back over to our virtual machine creation and see where it's at. Okay, so it's shutdown state, it's still provisioning right now. One of the things I'd like to do though while it's booting up is actually attach an additional data disk to it. So I can click the attach button. So let me refresh the portal real quick, then I can hit the attach button. Okay, so now I can go down here and I can click attach empty disk. If I had an additional disk, such a VHD I uploaded previously, or that I've created it with another virtual machine and deleted that virtual machine, I could actually attach that as well, but I don't have any in my subscription right now. So I'm going to go ahead and allocate a terabyte-sized data disk and attach that to this virtual machine. So whenever this VM boots up, it'll be ready with an additional terabyte of storage. Okay, while our virtual machine is provisioning, let's go ahead and check the status of our disk. And it does look like the empty disk was attached. So I should be able to go back over to Cloud Explorer and refresh VHDs, and there's our data disk. So I can take the properties of it and see that we do have 1,023 gigabytes written. Now, Windows Azure Storage is smart enough to know that as long as you haven't written bytes to the disk, it's actually a sparse file. So it's actually not going to bill us for the entire 1,023 gigs of storage since nothing has been written to it yet. Whenever I boot up my virtual machine and format this disk, I am smart to do a quick format because a quick format actually does not write anything to the disk. Once the disk is up and running, any file, any I/O to the file will actually fill in those bytes and not count as empty anymore. So let's go back over to our virtual machine and wait for it to finish provisioning. Through the magic of the pause button, our virtual machine is now running. So I'm going to go ahead and click connect and log into this virtual machine. And we'll show you how to configure storage. So all that's required to connect to the virtual machine is to click the connect button if it's a Windows server. If it's a Linux server, you'll need to have a SSH client such as PuTTY, or if you're on a Linux or a Mac box, just use SSH. And once we're logged in, I'll show you how to actually set up and configure this data disk. Sometimes it takes a few seconds on the initial login to get up and running. Okay, so our virtual machine is booted up now, so let's go ahead and jump into control panel. And I'm going to switch over to administrator tools, and we're going to launch computer manager. Okay, computer management is up, so I'm going to go ahead and click disk management, and this should pop up and ask us to format our new disk. So go ahead and click OK, and you can see our 1023 gigabyte disk. Go ahead and click create new simple volume. Make sure I leave perform a quick format in place, and I'll just call this data. So that's pretty much all it takes to get a virtual machine up and running. Seeing how to add additional storage to it, and in the next webcast, I'm going to show you how to enable some basics on networking, such as opening up endpoints and connecting multiple virtual machines together to build out a multi-tiered application. So let me go ahead and jump into our slide. And thank you very much, and make sure you take a look at our next webcast, which is going to focus on Windows Azure Virtual Machine Networking. Thank